Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish nerds. It's a podcast.
Wow, we have an exciting show for everybody tonight. This is the first collaboration in the history of Fish Nerds and the Woman Angler and Adventurer podcast. I am super stoked to be sitting in Glasswater headquarters talking to Angie Scott, the creator, producer, and host of the Woman Angler and Adventurer podcast. And we recently shared an experience, a wonderful experience. Angie, what did we just get done doing?
Yeah, we were at Truman Lake in Clinton, Missouri, and got to meet in person for the first time. And we were with the LBAA wild card tournament out there, and you got to come to weigh in on the last day of the tournament and chat with a couple of the ladies.
I did get to chat with a couple of the ladies, and both were just absolutely wonderful, absolutely charming, absolutely above expectation, and it went great, and I had a great time, and thank you very much for including us in your tournament adventure.
Yeah, thank you for coming out. It meant a lot to the ladies to have you there, and you know, brought them some goodies that they were excited about too. So, and I'm happy to be collaborating with you.
Well, this is fantastic. And yeah, I was happy to bring some goodies. I brought a big pile of Angle Kings, brought some of our latest product is a Ned head with an extra wide gap VMC hook. So you can rig it weedless, Texas style, throw it without fear into the brush, into the weeds, into whatever you want, and come back either with your bait or your bait, plus a nice basset or your bait, plus a nice bass attached. We've got a lot of stuff going on at Glasswater. Right now, through July 10th, you can get free shipping if you order $35 or more. Like I say, we introduced these wonderful Ned heads. We've got microball jig heads. And our latest product we just introduced, thank you to a Fish Nerd listener, we added shad darts. So we have shad dart heads for all of you that like that sort of thing. So yeah, I was happy to get, you know, this was my first big event to get some of the lures out and to meet some people that go out and use them. And hopefully they'll tell me about how much success they had with them. It was certainly a lot of fun. Okay, before we go on, I'm going to add a disclaimer. I did this audio in a big pavilion down at Truman Lake at the Bucksaw Campground and Marina. We were at the Marina, and they have several pavilions there because they run a lot of tournaments and a lot of events. So there's going to be some background noise. There's going to be some occasional this or that, car horn honking, people chatting, what have you, as people moved in and out. And, of course, the pavilion was kind of echoey. And I thought about leveling it, equalizing it, fooling with it. But I'll tell you what, for the authenticity of it, I just went in and left all that stuff in. I'm not that good an audio engineer to be able to get that stuff out. And, frankly, I kind of liked it. I thought it sounded cool. Also, our dear friend Angie is riding in a truck right now, so if there's a little bounce or a little bit of this or that in her audio, well, please forgive, but we're doing our best to get these shows together, and this was our opportunity, so here we go. All right, I want to get started talking about this, Angie, let's talk about your experience at the tournament. You had some good practice days. You found some things out. You had a three-pronged ABC attack plan. Tell us a little bit about it real quick.
Yeah, you know, I'm always nervous going into these June tournaments because, you know, it's that transition period. The water's warming up, the fish are pretty much post-spawn and going into their summer patterns. And I've always struggled historically during these tournaments. So, you know, I did a lot of research going into Truman Lake. I'd been there one time before. Totally different time of year, totally different conditions, but at least I had some kind of idea in my head of what to expect. And so just got out there, started practice, hitting some main lake points with trees and throwing big, you know, kind of ribbon tail worms. Had some success with that pretty much right off the bat. So that was exciting. Got into a little topwater action in practice too. And so that was kind of my plan going into it, was hit that topwater in the morning, Found a nice bluff wall that didn't have any trees on it, which was nice because that allowed me to be able to throw a jerk bait and a crank bait, and fish would come up to feed occasionally. And it seemed like I could pull one or two off that bluff wall. So that was kind of in my plan as well. And the first day of the tournament, it played better than I could have hoped. Top water was awesome. I had my limit in the boat by 8 a.m. And, you know, that lake too, another challenge is the largemouth have to be at least 15 inches. And then if you run into some spotted bass, they only had to be 12 inches. So I had four largemouth in one spot in the live well by 8. And then I was able to cull that spotted bass with largemouth that I pulled off that bluff wall by 10:30. So it was a pretty exciting day for me. And then we just kind of grinded the rest of the day, kept catching short fish, you know, a lot of 14 inchers in that lake right now. But yeah, I ended up third place after day one. So that was really exciting. And going into day two, unfortunately, that top water bite completely died. I caught some couple short fish on the top water, but wasn't getting any big fish. Pulled my one keeper of the day off that bluff wall. And I kept grinding that, hoping to get some bigger fish, but it just wasn't happening. So it's interesting to hear Pam Martin Wells, when she spoke at weigh-in, she kind of found that they flipped and they were doing the exact opposite. She was catching them on the worm in the morning and then top water the rest of the day. I was like, oh man, if I had been able to discover that, that could have turned things around a little bit.
So you come in, you got one fish for weigh-in, all right? And here is a little bit of audio from the weigh-in.
Let's see what she's got. Angie Scott had 960 yesterday. She was in pretty good position. How many you got, Angie? One today. Oh, my goodness. The wheels ran off of her deal. 174 today. 174. 174 for Angie Scott. Gives you over 10, but that's not going to be enough to take home a check.
All right. You know, I really like your MC guy. I really, really do. But told you were out of the money. So I went wandering off somewhere. And you told me you were out of the money when you first pulled in. You were a little disappointed, a little despondent. But what happened, Angie?
I found out later, everything kind of flipped from day one. You know, that top water just wasn't happening in the morning. Just catching some short fish. Went and hit that bluff wall a little earlier than I did the first day. And thankfully, that's where I got my one keeper. But, you know, come to find out later. Oh, I did have a little bit of an interruption in my day, too. We were in a good pocket.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, sorry. Oh, you did have an interruption. You had to be a hero.
Yeah. So my co-angler caught a short fish. It almost was a keeper, but not quite. And as she was trying to pull it out of the net, the fish shook and her extra wide gap hook ended up in her thumb. And so I didn't have anything to cut it with. It was all the way through. So we had to run about 10, 11 miles back to the marina to meet the tournament director, who had some wire cutters, and cut that hook out of her thumb. And we had just started getting into the fish there too. They were biting. Actually, I had one on wrapped around a tree while I was on the phone with the tournament director to find out if he had or knew of anybody who had something to cut that hook with. You know, I would have really had to have a really nice bag to even move up to number three. There was such a gap between the third and fourth spots. I would have been out of the money except for.
Come on. You are so modest. You know, it was really tight though after third. All right.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But no, what I was going to say is I would have been out of the money, but we had an anonymous person step up and donate money to pay out two more spots. So normally it would have just been the top three that cashed checks. And we actually were able to pay out through fifth place on this tournament. So thank you to whoever that was, but that allowed me to get my first plaque and cash my first check in an LBAA tournament.
So that one bass, this is what I'm getting at, that one bass, you never want to hang your head, right? You always want to go on that stage with pride, because what you think is a light bag may not be so light after all.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, that one bass saved me from not walking across the stage, which you know, that's never a good feeling, but also got me that fourth place spot.
Way to go, Angie. Congratulations. There you go. Got some money and a nice plaque.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fantastic. I was standing over there chatting with Kathy, and the next thing I know, I hear him, oh, fourth place, Angie Scott. I was like, what happened? What is going on here? So I got to tease the MC a little bit. You know, you didn't think you stood a chance, but you never give up. You never surrender. You never hang your head, and you go in and you can win by a single fish, by a few ounces.
When we're out there, I mean, even if it's like my Cane River tournament, where I never caught a fish in practice or the tournament. you grind all day long. I mean, because that one cast, you never know.
And completely change your day.
Yeah, totally could.
I mean, the stories are just untold. There's pages and pages of these stories because, oh, I've made one cast as I was coming into the marina right before weigh-in, or I did this or I did that. And the next thing you know, they've moved up in the standings. Well, that was a real treat. In fact, the whole experience was just nothing but one fun thing after another. So you introduced me to two great lady anglers, and I've got interviews with both of them. The first one, I think, shall we do Cassie first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, let's do Cassie Hall first. This is Angie's friend, Cassie Hall. She fishes as a co-angler, and I wanted to know kind of what it was like to fish as a co-angler, kind of take me back to when I was a kid and at the mercy of whoever was running the boat, whoever was in the front of the boat. And I just was wanting to compare notes with Cassie and hear a little bit about what she does with LBAA and what it's like to be a co-angler. So unless you've got something you want to say, Angie, shall we let her roll?
Yeah, no, Cassie's amazing. So everybody enjoy.
Enjoy. This is Crappie Hippie, your tree-hugging redneck from eastern Kansas, and I'm getting to sit down with co-angler Cassie Hall, and she is also the new member coordinator for the Lady Bass Anglers Association. Cassie, I got a lot of questions for what it's like to be a co, but first of all, explain to me kind of how you help these new anglers when they come into the club.
Well, usually what we do is, you know, we have our meeting, and right before the meeting, the initial meeting, I take the new members over to an area, and we discuss, you know, safety, we discuss sportsmanship, if anybody has any health, you know, that they would like to divulge, because that's important. Also, you know, if you're able to swim or not swim, because if you're not able to swim, then, you know, the other angler probably needs to know that. If you want to share, you don't have to share any medical. You don't have to share if you can't swim or not. And what to expect, because some of these ladies have never, ever fished a tournament before. I mean, we've had a lot of new people come in and fish that have never had tournament experience. As one of them is me. I mean, I never had any tournament experience. I was totally green when I came in.
Well, this is a wonderful place to get your feet wet, since we're talking about falling in the water and who can swim and all that. But hate to use a cliche, but it really is. I get this again and again and again. The more I talk to people, the more I listen about, you know, why there's been talk about, do we even really need women and men's leagues, you know? And the consensus seems to be that, yes, we do, because to get your feet wet, to get started, It's nice to have a sisterhood to get that start with.
It is. And this sisterhood that we have here is unbelievable. I mean, we all are considered, we're family. We're all, and of course, you know, when a family, you're all going to have your little pet peeves and stuff, or little, you know, little arguments or whatever. But when we get on the water, that's different. When you get on the water, everybody's competitive. But when we're off the water, we eat together, we have fun. I mean, it's just a big family reunion, basically.
That's what I heard. everybody's together, everybody's, you know, having fun, and this and fun is a huge part of this, because you know, why else would it be worth it? But boy, when we're out there, unless you're waving the net, I think that's what Barb Harris said. Unless you're waving the net and in need of assistance,
it's on.
Game on.
It's
game on.
It's game on for sure. And these ladies are definitely very professional in every sense of the way, and can catch fish. I mean, you saw some of it today. Today at Truman Lake was really tough. But they came in with some bags, some good bags.
Some real good bags. I mean, I was reading some of the fish and game reports, and they're saying, yeah, it's going to be another short year for the fish. It's going to be a lot of fish, but a lot of short fish out there. And yet I saw big fish here, some nice heavy bags, and you guys really seem to take this humongous reservoir and be able to break it down and produce some amazing catches.
Yeah, today I fell a little short. Yesterday I had a nice 343, and today I had a .99. Lost a lot of fish, and as you mentioned, a lot of short fish, lot of short fish. This fishery in about a year, I guess, maybe a year or two, with all those short fish, with 14 and 7/8 and 14 and a halves, they are going to rock it in the next year or two. There are going to be some nice fish in these waters here.
So I hope find you guys back in some sort of capacity.
I hope so. Secret and Cheryl, they two amazing ladies. If it hadn't been for Secret and Cheryl, the ladies here, we would have had nowhere to go and nothing to fish. So as far as women's tour.
Explain my fish nerds audience. Who is Secret and Cheryl, and what's going on there?
Secret York, she's from Kentucky, and Cheryl Bowden is from Texas. And they got together and decided to start a tour for women. And they did. I mean, and they both live in different states, and it has all worked out for the last 13 years, from 2010 until 2023. Those ladies have been amazing, and I can't thank the people, the staff. We have had so many different volunteers, and the staff that we have, you know, it's just an amazing group of people that have made this tournament and tour possible.
Well, it's a fantastic thing. You know, you're just talking about people being professional. It's such an investment, and it goes beyond the cash. I mean, it's time. It's you know, getting people to cover your home bases while you're out doing this. Pam told me, you know, it really takes a tribe. It takes a family. It takes a group of people to make it possible. So whether you're in a big, you know, association or a small one or whatever, it's a climate of professionalism, because you're really dedicating yourself to coming down.
Yeah.
And no matter how, you know, much you're invested, the competition seems so very healthy, and fun seems to be a huge slice of that pie, and that's what I really like about it.
It is, and the ladies that fish this, we're not making a living off this.
Right.
We're in the hole most of the time, all the time. We do this for the love of fishing. That's why we do it. It's not about the money. It's about the love of fishing. We all love to fish and hang out together, and that's what it's about.
Well, if you love fishing fish tournaments, don't start a lure company, because your fishing days are over. So if you want to be a pro, this is the way to do it. This is the way to do it. Now, I want to ask you a few things about fishing as a co. All right? Let's talk about the pros and cons. Which one you'll start with?
Okay. We can start with the cons of being a co-angler. Let's start that way. The cons of being a co-angler: where to put your stuff. It's kind of funny. The boaters, some of them, they'll kid you. They'll see you walking up with all these bags and about 8 or 10 fishing rods, and they're like, "Are you moving in?" We're like, "Well, yeah, you've got a whole boat." You know, we've got to pack what we think we're going to need, and most of us travel with a truck, and the back end of the truck looks like a store, so right. You can go in and shop to see what you're going to need. But that's one of the cons, the being able to put your stuff, and then your rods get all tangled up, but it's not too many cons. you know, it's basically, you know, trying to handle and get your rods and everything all together.
Okay. Well, I've listened to Angie's show quite a bit, and I've heard a few stories where there's, you know, personality clashes maybe.
Oh yeah.
You know, this kind of thing, that kind of thing. When I was a kid, guys I used to fish with, older guys I used to fish with, one guy back there running the trolling motor, one guy up in the front. I used to have to sit in the middle, right? It sounds like a lot of the pros are very generous people as far as trying to get you in a place where, you know, they're catching fish, they try to get an angle. But sometimes, you ever have a pro that's just so intensely into it, all of a sudden you're swung out over 40 foot of water when you'd really like to hit that bank?
Well, you know, most of the ladies here are, you know, they don't front end you, but
so you don't need a little pea shooter to.
No, there are times though when you're getting a bite, they don't know you're getting a bite, and they hit their foot on the trolling motor, and you're like, oh, but
oh,
you know,
no.
What are you gonna do if you want to be in charge or in control? Be a boater. That's the way I, you know, that's the way I look at it. Be a boater. So yeah, they're. You may miss a couple bites here and there, and the next thing you know, you're in 40 feet of water and you don't know, but most of the ladies are really good about leaving their monitors on so you can see exactly, you know, how deep or how shallow you are.
Oh, okay, so they've got one, the front and back arrangement for when they're running.
Yeah.
You can see the running.
You can see the contour lines.
Yeah, you see the sounder. Okay. Now, let's go ahead and move on to the pros, because I know one of the things that people talk about is, wow, what a thrill to get to fish with Pam Martin Wells or Terry Sindrick or
well,
even Angie Scott. It's a thrill.
And I have fished with Angie, and she's a lot of fun.
Well, then you're luckier than me.
You haven't fished with her.
I have not had the privilege.
She needs to take you fishing.
She sure does.
She needs to take you fishing because she's quite an angler. She really is. And I have learned so much. If you want to fish, this is my suggestion. Find you a tour and go as a co-angler. It is amazing what you can learn. I have learned so many different techniques. I never drop shotted in my life. Now, don't get me wrong. I really don't like to drop shot. But
it's a slow way to fish.
If there's a need to drop shot, I will drop shots. But it's not my favorite thing. I have learned how to rig baits different. I have so much knowledge from each individual, because you've got one girl, one lady here, that she frog fishes. I don't care if it's raining, if the sun is high in the sky and you got bluebird sky, she's gonna throw that frog, and she's good at it. Her name is Linda Gessner, and she can flat frog fish.
And she can bring up a strike on a frog you think it's just craziness, huh?
She's amazing.
Wow.
She's amazing with a frog. I'm telling you, she's awesome with a frog.
Well, see, you can tell this is a fishing podcast, because how many opportunities in life do you get to say she's amazing with a frog?
Yeah.
I mean, you're either talking about a biologist or a bass fisher,
right?
Right.
This girl, she can, Kermit. I call it Kermit, because she can throw Kermit a mile and she can catch fish.
That's amazing. That is fantastic. I heard one of the ladies say, oh, I've got a boat. I could come out here and fish pro, but here for the past few years I've fished co, just so I can fish with the different people. A fascinating perspective. That's the kind of thing that I find really interesting about, you know, the co-angling, is that you develop these partnerships, you know, these friendships, these mentorships, these sort of a thing as you're going along.
The mentorship, you can ask anybody. Now, they're not going to tell you what baits to throw, all right? When you get on the boat with a pro, some of them are going to, they're going to be a little sketchy until you get out on the water, you know, because we, after the meeting, we all meet with who we're going to partner up with, and some of them will say we're going to go fishing. And some of them will say, well, you know, we're going to be in deep, we're going to be shallow. But I'll tell you this, once you get out on the water, it's different. They will share with you exactly how they're going to fish and what they're going to do.
And they're kind of reticent in here, keeping the little birds from getting a little too close.
There you go.
Once you're out there. Now, when you're out there, and is there times where they want to do A, but you're thinking maybe B would be a better option? Do you guys ever powwow, or do you ever exchange opinions on where we're going to fish or why?
Well, like today, I fished with Ann Carroll, And she's a good angler, and she was like, look, if there's somewhere you want to stop, she said, just let me know. I've had several boaters ask, you know, hey, if you see something that you want to throw at or you want to go, just let me know, you know. But 9 times out of 10, these pros have looked at maps. They have practiced and charted and know where they're going to go, where they're going to stop, what time of day they're going to stop. So it's pretty much charted out. But occasionally, you'll have one that says, hey, you know, it's not working today. You got any ideas? And, yeah, you can give them a couple ideas, and they may take you up on it or they may not.
Well, there you go. But have you ever given advice and had it had them thank you at the
yes.
end of the day, saying, wow, that was a good inspiration
yes.
going back into that pocket or up that creek?
I mean, there's been times where there's a co-angler here she's my best friend pretty much. Her name is Diana Eberhawk. And when I first met Diana Eberhawk, I asked her, I said, what do you do for a living? And she says, well, we raise turkeys. And I said, so you're a turkey farmer? She's like, well, yeah. So she gets on a boat as a co-angler. And there have been times where the boater has started fishing like what she's doing.
Yeah.
And she shares baits. And we've had the boater share baits with us. So, I mean, it does happen. It does happen.
Well, I also get, you know, a sense of pride, of shared pride, when you're a co and the boater does well or vice versa. But, of course, the biggest thrill is when you both do really well.
Well, yeah, because you're not fishing against the person in the front of the boat.
Exactly.
So, you know, the boaters want the co-angler to do just as good as they do. They want you to catch fish. There's not anybody out there that fishes in the front of the boat in this tour that doesn't want their person in the back, the co-angler, not to catch fish.
Well, it sounds like such a great place to get started. I've got a little friend that I haven't met yet, but this young lady that was on the Fish Nerds podcast. Her name's Rosie. She's 8 years old. She's a fishing prodigy. It's so great for her to have a whole different world than say when Pam started fishing, when you started fishing,
oh, yes.
when I started fishing. She has tours and heroes and precedent and things that, you know, she can plan for, look up to, dream about, and see girls and women, you know, out there doing this. So one of the things that Angie talked about growing up is how, you know, the magazines, the media was pretty much devoid, outside of a few notable people, of ladies at all.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're 30% of the game.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't realize, you know, Pam Martin Wells, you know, she fished the Bassmaster Classic on Lay Lake. But before Pam Martin Wells, Kim Bain Moore, she's from Australia, and she actually lives in Alabaster, Alabama, and her husband have Reaction Innovations. She was one of the first ladies to ever fish the Bassmaster Classic Elites. She qualified from the WBT, and then the next year, Pam Martin Wells came along. She did really well on Lay Lake. She really did.
Yeah.
I was her marshal.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, she did really good on Lay Lake.
Well, that's just fantastic. I mean, the ceilings are being broke, you know, one after another. Take as much time as you want. Final word from Cassie Hall. Tell us what's on your mind or something you'd like to see or the future of women's fishing. I don't know. Just what's on your mind, Cassie?
I would love to see this tour continue. Like I said, Secret and Cheryl have put their heart and soul in this tour for 13 years.
Wow.
And it would be awesome if somebody would come in and help us out. Because if not, Bull Shoals, that would be it. And I may start tearing up because it's tough.
It would be. It is tough. It seems like you've been just involved, you know, clear up your neck in this, and I would love to see it continue. I think, you know, it's just a matter of finding the right people to get the sponsor support and to realize that this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity not just for, you know, lure companies, but for clothing companies, for
everything,
you know, all
anything,
kinds of things.
Fishing industry, anything. I mean, it's the way to get the word out. Just somebody come in and help us out a little bit, because I sure hate to see it. I hate to see it end, especially for the younger generation.
Yeah, they need a place to go. But I think because of people like you, no matter what betides with the LBAA,
mm-hmm.
I have a feeling the same motivational forces that caused these ladies to create this tour will cause, you know, motivate other women to pick up the torch and carry on.
And I hope someone does. I really do, because I understand with Secret and Cheryl. I do, and I applaud them, because I know it's hard for them to
lay it aside. Yeah,
yes,
I'm sure it was a huge decision for them.
It was a hard decision for them to do that.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Cassie. Everybody's kind of run out on us.
Yeah,
thank you for hanging around. I know it was a long, hot day out there.
Oh, this has been great. Anytime that I can get and talk fishing, I'm there. Anytime Angie wants me to talk fishing, I'll talk fishing all day long.
Wow, we are cut from the same cloth.
Yes,
just ask
are.
My wife.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But I appreciate you letting me get on here and talk to you. And if anybody is ever out into Alabama, I'm in Alabaster, Alabama. Come by and stop in at Mark's Outdoors in Airport Marine and get you a boat.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to Google map Alabaster, Alabama right away, just as soon as we're done. All
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Look me up. We'll go fishing.
Well, thank you, Cassie. Thank you for taking
thank
some
you,
time
sir.
To talk to the fish nerds.
All right. And Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. All right.
All right. Thank you. Enjoyed
bet.
It.
All right. Now, wasn't that a lot of fun? Isn't she just something else? I tell you, can't get over how sweet she is. She said you guys have fished together. Any memorable moments, any big things there?
No, it was a ton of fun. You know, Cassie has a lot more experience at this than I do. So it was interesting to be the boater and have Cassie on the back of the boat. But we were fishing both shoals in that 30-foot high water conditions. And, in another summer tournament where I usually struggle. So she was actually coaching me on positioning the boat, fishing some of these deeper points. And unfortunately, you know, we had a tough day that day, but it was kind of fun with her. We were, you know, fishing one of those points. Some fish had just come up to feed. And I saw a school of bass, maybe four or five of them cruising the bank, and just happened to throw my Senko at them. And that's where I got my one keeper of that tournament. And it happened so fast. It was an exciting moment. You know, it was one of those deals where I was reeling in that fish and there was another one chasing it. And I was hoping Cassie would be able to pick one of those off too. But just like I said, all happened so fast. But it was a really fun day with her. She's just entertaining and one of those people that just brings a lot of positive energy.
All right, Angie, you are the absolute best. You set me up with an interview with Pam Martin Wells. Please tell our Fish Nerds listeners, who is Pam Martin Wells?
Yeah, Pam Martin Wells has been at this fishing thing for a really long time. And her results speak to that. She's also a coach for Emmanuel Christian College, and her team does very, very well. So she is the most winningest female angler of all time and has also fished the Bassmaster Classic a couple of times. So I was excited to be able to line up a conversation with her and you, and I could tell she really enjoyed chatting with you, and I'm excited to share the conversation with everybody.
Well, I tell you, I'm glad to hear she enjoyed chatting with me, because if she enjoyed it a 100th as much as I enjoyed talking to her, she must enjoy it a lot, because I'm telling you, I'm absolutely humbled to be in the presence of greatness. I mean, she is kind, she is witty, she is wise, she is gorgeous. She has the most insanely gorgeous eye color. She's just meant to be a fisher. These sea green blue eyes of hers, I mean it, and a sweet smile. But what I'm really taken with is that, yeah, she has shattered one ceiling after another, whether it's fishing in the big men's tournaments or this latest accomplishment where she is the head coach of a college fishing team and putting, you know, several teams into the upper ranks, into the finals, into the, you know, I'm not real down with all this stuff. I don't follow all these tours, but I did overhear her talking about how well her team was going when she was on the podium. And it was just amazing to get to talk to her. So I owe you one, kiddo. Whatever I can do, I owe you one. This was the interview of a lifetime, and you set it up for me, and I so appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Glad it all worked out.
Okay, so Pam, you know, I'm going to bring this up, and then I want to kind of move on, but, you know, not only is she a head coach and all this stuff, but when we talk about determination, Pam has been having some health challenges, and she is not reticent about talking to about these health challenges. She's had some cancer issues. She's cancer-free right now. All through this, she's pretty much managed to keep going, keep fishing. She told me that it's kind of her medicine. It's kind of her drug. It's kind of her way to get out and put the anxiety and the stresses and strains of having these sort of challenges and medical treatments behind her. It's amazing to see her out there, isn't it, Ange?
Yeah, you know, I've thankfully haven't had to go through anything like that, so I don't really know personally. But just from talking to people that have gone through it, we have Terry Bittner on our tour as well, and she's definitely been through the ringer. And so, you know, her and Pam have kind of bonded, but hearing Terry talk, she's just blown away that Pam's been able to get out there through going through all these treatments and stuff and still doing very, very well as well.
She is. I mean, she absolutely crushed it at Truman, and it's just unbelievable. Well, this interview isn't about my fan spaz over Pam Martin Wells. I could go on for another 45 minutes, but what kind of show would that be? Let's go ahead and get to the interview right now.
Well, I have been doing this a long time, and I guess I've just completely run out of adjectives for her. I don't know what else to say about this lady. Besides GOAT, everybody calls her the GOAT, and she deserves that. Greatest of all time on the ladies' side for sure. 26-44 for 2 days' work. Bainbridge, Georgia's Pam Martin Wells, winner and champion on Sugar Lake here in Missouri. Congratulations.
All right, Pam, you are a head coach at Emmanuel College. That's down in Georgia where you're from. You're from
correct.
Bainbridge.
That's correct.
And you've broken the ceiling. You're a head coach on a fishing team, college fishing team. I coached soccer for 11 years, coached my daughter's team, all right? Tell me what it's like. I'm done with class. I got bass practice after school here today. I'm going to Emmanuel. What's show me a typical day. What do I got to do? Do I show up and practice my casting? Do I show up and learn how to identify bass? Tell me a typical day or pick a day out of your routine.
Well, normally with the middle school and the high school trails like it is and so big, typically when they get to the college ranks, they pretty much know the basics, you know. Or some of them think they know it all. But you know, I guess the main job for a coach at the college level is logistics with the tournaments, and certainly offering any advice that they might need. But, I mean, you know, we're dealing with 18 to 21-year-old young men for the most part, and I'm sorry, but they know it all.
Okay, so when we're talking about logistics, so are we talking about like how to break down a lake, how to break down an area, how to break down a topo map, and for the guys that still think they have a thing or two to learn, how do you go about doing that?
Well, we have regular meetings 1 to 2 times a week, and we go over those kinds of things. If we got a tournament coming up, we'll go over the maps, which, you know, with the electronics now, all the electronics have the maps on them. But I'm still old school. I believe in a paper map. There's no, you know, it's got a ton of valuable information on it. So we'll go over maps and that kind of thing and patterns, seasonal patterns.
Yeah.
You know, and because you can break down a lake by going on the seasonal pattern, and that way you can eliminate so much water rather than just running around. Basically, I'm going to say blind, but not blind, but you know what I'm saying. So
I absolutely know what you're saying. I'm from Kansas, where a big reservoir is like, our biggest reservoir is like 11,000 acres, okay? I mean, you could fit, what, 7 of them in here, in Truman out here, at least, right? And the size and everything else, if you can't eliminate water, you're in deep trouble.
Yeah,
deep trouble quick.
Yeah, because, you know, most of these tournaments, we only have 2-3 days to figure it out. So if you go to an area that's new and, you know, you've never been to, that kind of thing, and you only got 3 days, You know, you got to start somewhere. So that's the biggest thing, is to break it down into seasons, and then it's relatively easy, because if you say, okay, like here for example, the fish should be post-spawn, okay? So you'll go look for the typical post-spawn patterns, and then if that's not working, what I say is you go one way or another. You either go back
and assume they're on the nest or something like that.
Right, or further away from the spawn. So it's, you know, it really narrows the lake down and eliminates a lot of water.
All right, so what you're telling me then is the lake is kind of like the other team, right? You've got the other teams out there that you're fishing against.
Right.
But since, you know, it's not a contact thing, so, you know, I'm like, you know, get tighter on number 11. It's not that. It's like, get tighter on this cover.
That's right.
Look for this kind of spot, this kind of thing. So the lake is as much your opponent as actually it's everybody in the tournament.
That's right. Exactly.
It's not adversariable, because you – adversariable. That's adversariable, people. I just invented a new word. But it's not adversarial in that you love your lake. You know, you're all outdoors people. You love the nature and everything. But you got to know that
right.
Lake's going to try to frustrate you. It's going to try to defeat you.
No doubt.
And without a little help from Coach Martin, it just might do that, right?
Yeah, it will do it. Fishing is one of the most humbling sports. When you think you know it, they will let you know absolutely nothing.
I hear that. I haven't fished on your level for that. Well, I've never fished on your level, not as a professional and not even just as an angler. But I started fishing when I'm three, so that gives me 58 years of doing it. So I know how it comes in thinking, oh man, I killed him today, I'm going to go about tomorrow and double kill him, and they've come back in with your head hanging.
That's right. Well, you know, prime example today, I mean, or yesterday, from yesterday to today, things changed dramatically. I went to the same spots, but had to change tactics in order to catch them. So, yeah, it's a sport that keeps you on your toes, for sure.
Well, it's that depth of experience that lets you know that, hey, because there's two reactions. Either there's like lose your head and start running around everywhere.
Right.
Or just start emptying your tackle box and not giving any particular bait or group of baits a fair shot at working. So, you know, it really is a struggle. Do you have that on your team? You have some kids you need to calm down, say, hey Jerry, you gotta just get back in a good headspace.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got some that you know, they get spun out really easily. And I can tell that by their gas bills when I get their gas bill at the end of the tournament. I'm like, hey, there's no way you burned this much gas. And they're like, I did, coach. And I'm like, well, you weren't doing much fishing. But yeah, so, you know, sometimes you just got to step back and calm down and think about it. I mean, it would have been – I went to my first spot this morning expecting to do pretty good because I did really good there yesterday. And after an hour, I had only had one bite, and I was like, uh-oh. I could have very easily just let that blow me up. But I was like, you know, I just moved on to the next spot, and one little clue keyed me in, and I was able to start catching the fish then.
Okay, so we're talking about getting in that mental funk, getting in that mental zone, you know, how to get out of it. Get back on track. Definitely having a good coach is going to help you with that, these gaps. Okay, let's take our dear mutual friend, Angie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you were coaching Angie, what advice would you give her as an up-and-comer the way she is? She's got a great mind. She's got great observational powers, but she gets frustrated because she'll have the big day, then she won't. Then she'll have the big day, then she won't.
You know, that the mental part of fishing is truly the biggest portion of it, in my opinion. And you just got to relax. I tell my kids, I said, go have fun.
Yeah.
Go have fun. If you give it 110%, I'll be proud of you either way. I said, but just go have fun and do what you know to do. Well, too often people get caught up in what somebody else has done or what they've read on the internet or this or that. You know, I tell co-anglers all the time, they're like, how come I'm not catching fishes? Because you're trying to do what? You're trying to play my game. I said, pick something that you have confidence in and throw it and stick with it.
Wow, that is a great advice. That's advice, you know, as a designer, I'm like, you know, people, should I do this? Should I do this? You know, it's like fish the bait that feels best in your hand, you know. So I really like that advice. You know, it's like you're in a funk, pick up your rod and fish. You know, like the great Gretzky says, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the fish you don't throw at.
That's
if
right.
You're running around in a boat, you don't have a line in the water.
I ain't never caught a fish running 70.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't care if you're a fly fishing great like John Gearock. Anybody will tell you the same thing. It's you know, get that line in the water and keep it there and have fun with what you're doing, because if you don't have fun just doing it, then
right.
All the wins in the world ain't going to make it fun, and it's not going to fill you up with the joy that
that's
you ought
right.
to be getting out of this stuff. All righty. Well, that's fantastic. I just adore Angie so much, and I know she'll be back at it. She'll be back at it. Okay, now, let's talk about it. I was reading some articles and some quotes from you about the future of the LVAA is in doubt right now.
Right.
And, you know, maybe someone will pick it, maybe it won't. But I had one article I read where you were talking about, you know, maybe we don't need two leagues. Tell me about that. Would you, you know, your idea is like, hey, it's just like, you said it was just like the auto racing. We don't have two auto racing leagues. Maybe we don't need two bass leagues. Are you just kind of on a fence about that, or where are you at with that?
No, I mean, honestly, because the fish don't know if you're male or female, okay?
No.
So in that respect, no. As far as the women competing in some of the men's trails, it's a lot harder for the women simply because of the sponsor backing and the monetary part that it takes to compete at that certain level.
It takes a lot of money. Yes, it does. And that's crucial, right, to have the sponsor backing, because just to do, you've kind of moved beyond, you know, Bass Club fun time at this point.
Right, right. And you know, that like I say, that's the probably one of the biggest hurdles that there is, because otherwise, like I say, the fish don't know if it's a man or a woman. And, I mean, yeah, I get it. I mean, I'm not one of these women's livers things. I mean, I get it. You know, men have more stamina and that kind of thing. But if you work at it and you train for it, which sounds weird to train for fishing, but it's tough. It's tough.
Well,
doing.
We just call that getting experience. We're just talking, you know, about it right now, you know. Because I will tell you where, I'm sorry to interrupt, but, you know, men may have more stamina. But I think women have more intuition and more intuitive sense. I mean, I have so, like my daughter, she likes to fish, yeah, but, you know, but sometimes, you know, you think all of fishing I've done, you know, I just wail on her constantly. That is not the truth. She can just go out and just start catching fish. This blows me away sometimes, you know. She will just know what to do somehow.
I mean, it would be great. And there's quite a few female anglers out there in the men's ranks. And, you know, but it's just, for the 30 years that I've been doing this, that's the biggest hurdle, is the monetary backing to get out there and do it like they do.
Well, that's good to know. But I see bright spots coming up the road, because when I first started looking at this, it was like 20%. Now, you know, in 25, now they're saying, a third. And I'm just like, well, sponsors got to start waking up. I mean, if a 30-year customer base is ladies, then, you know, maybe you might, you know, might start giving them a little more support. But I've also noticed from listening to Angie's show that a support system, and not just financial, but whether it's G-Man and his wife, or you and your wonderful husband right over here, people seem to have a cheerleader that's saying, go, 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 I'm with you all the way.
It takes a tribe. It takes a tribe to do this. I mean, you know, from having the support like I do from my husband and a lot of the guys do with their wives, to people back home, your family, somebody that's taking care of your business while you're on the road, whatever, you know. So it's not just a one-person show. I mean, I think that kind of hinders some folks when they're just trying to start out, and you can't do this on your own.
You got to build a team.
That's
team.
Right.
And people say, well, you know, women have different obligations. You know, even though society's changed a lot, they you know, they generally want to be the primary caregiver for the kids. You know, it's not even a matter of being forced to do anything or any of that. But it sounds like, yeah, it really does take a team of people. I mean, I know Angie and Dana, you know, they're hand in hand. Without Dana, it would be a lot harder for Angie to be doing what she's doing. And I know that I've heard there's some great stories about you and your husband out on practice days and so forth, and how, you know, what a great bond you guys have. That was a table. That was a table. That was not a body. All right. Okay, we recently had a young lady on Fish Nerds, and then I shared the audio with Angie because it was just so precious. I had her put it, or asked her if she wanted to put it on. Yeah, I had her. I had her do anything. It's her podcast. Asked her if she wanted to put this young lady on her podcast. Anyway, her 8-year-old named Rosie, total fishing phenomenon. What would you tell Rosie? You know, one thing, you know, she wants to grow up and be you or someone like you. Well, what kind of advice would you give my 8-year-old friend Rosie?
What I've told people from the beginning of my career, and that's to live your dreams. I'm living my dream. Don't let nobody tell you you can't.
Awesome. Perfect. She's going to love that, and that's something I totally believe in. I know her folks are like that, too, so that's wild. Okay, now you've been through a lot of these leagues. Kind of ties back into what we were talking about before. You, the Bass and Gals, the regular Bass League had a women's branch for, you know, regular Bass League. You can tell, you know, I'm just old Kansas crappie guy. You know, I'm a, you know, tournaments this, that. I know they exist, and I know some people are really into it. In fact, I'm surprised my friend Kim isn't down here at this thing, the next pavilion over, because he's into the big time crappie fishing. Me, I'm just like, he's always telling me this guy, that guy, this person, that person. I don't know. But you've seen these things come and go. I guess what I'm trying to ask is, do you see, kind of like the ladies' soccer, when I was coaching, I was way into soccer, I watched three women's leagues come and go, and now we finally, fourth try, have one that's staying around. Do you see this as going to be eventually women combined with men, and we just, you know, we get enough support from women that they can just join in with the men, that they can all build their little tribe and go? Or you think it's going to end up being a separate league type of thing?
You know, I don't know. I know some of the major organizations are looking at, you know, different possibilities of trying to make the circuits more accessible to the women. I always felt like, and I hate to even say this because I never talk about myself, but I always said that.
Don't worry, I'll talk about you. That's fine.
with the same backing and opportunities, I mean, I have no doubt that I couldn't have competed on that higher level. But I think, irregardless to that, whether you know, there becomes a mixed whatever, I still think there needs to be some grassroots women-only things just for the purpose of getting some women used to it. But, however, having said that, with the high school tournaments and the college tournaments now, that's kind of like a training ground for these young ladies. So, you know, it's a lot easier for someone coming out of college to transition to fishing, BASS or Major League Fishing, than it is just Susie Q over there that's, you know, had a couple babies but's really good a bass fisherman. It's a lot easier because these young girls have been through this. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, because this is what I keep hearing is a lot of, oh, I'm glad I have the LBA, I'm glad I can start out in sisterhood, and, you know, because, you know, gender needs are different, you know, approaches to the fishing are different, priorities are different. Like everybody here, in my opinion, and my opinion matters because I'm doing the interview, is that, you know, you're very competitive. You are very competitive. But I don't, you know, excuse, but I don't see a lot of PP contest type situation going on. I don't see anybody in a snit. I don't see anybody stomping out of here. I don't see people getting a little too much of their, I know you get that gut wrench. I mean, even I'm not even in this. I'm watching the weigh-in. And I can tell the disappointment on some people. And, you know, it's still that same experience on a lot of levels. But I don't see it being that defining moment or people totally validating themselves through the fishing. It seems more of a sisterhood. Am I accurate, or am I just blowing smoke?
No, for the most part, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, the way a lot of it is. Now, I've been doing this long enough, and I'm just very competitive. I'm wide open. Am I friends with all these ladies? Yes. But when we get on the water, I tell my partners, I say, look, if you need something in the boat, you're going to have to get my attention. I say, because when I get in the boat,
I'm in the zone.
I've got tunnel vision, and you don't exist
right there. All right. Well, I'm going to interview a co here in a minute, and but I under exactly what we're talking about, because the best fishers I know is, you know, I enjoy fishing, and I'm okay at it. Because I love talking about myself. And once I get tired of it, you can go ahead and talk about me. But seriously though, the best fishers I know are quiet, totally in the zone. You know, the guy that field tests for us, our chief field tester, when we're fishing, I'm just like, anyway, I have this design, I would really think it'd be, you know, da da da. He's just like, uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. It just nothing. You cannot break that bubble.
Right.
You can't do it. All right. Now let's say Rosie wants to, you know, she's lucky because her folks are trying to get in the fishing business. Her daddy's builds rods and has this shop, you know, this online shop called Rosie's Tackle Shop. And so chances are he'll be her first sponsor, you know, she gets going. But girls like Rosie and older, and some of these young ladies that Angie just interviewed on her show, how would they go about getting a sponsor? How would they go about, you know, exciting some interest in them as people?
Well, I mean, a lot of the new up-and-comers think it's all about the fishing, and it's a minimal part is about your success as a fisherman. It's more about how you can promote the promotion for your sponsors, an outlet to promote it, which social media makes that a lot easier now than it was 20 years ago when, you know, if we didn't have somebody do an interview or a magazine article or something, you know, it was a lot harder. But so with the social media platform, that makes it a lot easier. But it's the biggest portion of it is promotion. I mean, you got to be able to carry yourself in such a way that a sponsor wants to put their name on your jersey. Or, you know, you got to be able to like I said, promote that sponsor in a manner that is becoming to them.
Very salient advice, because if you're a shrinking violet and you're just one of these people who doesn't really want to talk to people, you don't want to meet fans, you don't want to sit down with sponsors, or if you're unpleasant in some way, let's just leave it. We don't need to dredge up any examples. You are going to, it's not going to do them a lot of good. I don't care if you win all the tournaments and catch all the bass. All right, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Can we come back
sure.
for a couple minutes? All right, let's go over and. All right, folks, they're about ready to hand out some awards. So we got to see who's in the money, all right? And then I will have Pam back, and we will talk about a couple more things, because I always give my guests a chance to, a couple minutes to get whatever off their chest, whatever they want to talk about. So we'll be back. All right, we're back. You know, we're talking about how, you know, if you're going to get these sponsorships, you're going to get this sort of promotional opportunities, you really need to promote. And I think
that's
our mutual
correct.
Friend, Angie Scott, kind of has that down, don't you think?
Yeah, she does a terrific job. I mean, that's, you know, that's what it's all about. And Angie does a great job, you know, promoting Crestliner and Lance Campers and those guys and Freedom.
Yeah, Freedom Boat Club.
Freedom Boat Club,
not only does she have a smile that just would, you know, chase all the clouds away, lights up a room, all the cliches, right? But she's so personable. And great role model. You're a great role model. I just, it's an exciting time for ladies fishing, and it's just going to get better and better and better, don't you think?
I do think so. I'm looking forward to it. You know, that's part of my job now is, I'm building the future with these college kids. So, yeah.
All righty. All the time you want. Final word, Pam Martin. What you got on your mind?
Right now, the LBAA isn't a transition. Secret's been a friend of mine for years and years. I just want to give them a shout out for all that they've done for this organization and giving us ladies an outlet to fish. You know, we really appreciate it and looking forward to what's to come.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. This is a thrill of a lifetime. I mean it. I am in the presence of legend here, folks. This is fantastic. The greatest bass fisher lady of all time. The records, they just go on for pages. Thank you so much. Our audience, thank you so much. Congratulations on your tournament win. And I will come down and be at the next weigh-in if I can. If I can't, I'm going to follow you around on the net. And the next time I get to meet up with you, well, maybe we'll do this again, all right?
All right. Well, I really appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity. And I couldn't do what I'd do if it wasn't for my sponsors, you know, Bainbridge, Georgia.
Shout them out. Shout out these sponsors.
Yeah, Bainbridge, Georgia, you know, my hometown, they supported me for years now. And, you know, it's a great place, great lake, Lake Seminole there. So it was the perfect training ground for me. Phoenix Boats, Mercury, Lowrance, Power Pole, you know, these guys make what I do easy. So, you know, I couldn't do it without them. Especially Gamma Line, because in all these trees, today I was, the past 2 days I was using just 14 pound test in all these trees and I never once broke off. Tremendous line, so.
That's Gamma Line, everybody. All right, once again, thank you. It's been a long, hot day and you've been awful, awful sweet talking to me. I'm gonna give you a chance to chill with the hubs and with the dog and get yourself something to drink, something to eat. Best of luck in the future. Thanks one more time. Pam Martin Wells, everybody. Thank you.
All right. Okay, we are back. What about that, Ange? Did I do a good job?
Oh, you did a fantastic job. Yeah, it was kind of funny. Of all times, you're in the middle of conversation with her, and then this big tractor comes in to get the tanks, the holding tanks for the fish. So that was a little interruption there, but it all worked out.
Oh yeah, we got interrupted, and then and you warned me, you know, to hit these pockets of time between while they're tallying results and stuff, and then the next thing you know, here comes the MC saying, "Hey, we're ready to start handing out the awards and the goodies and so forth." We had to take a little break for that too. I'm going to ask you one question. What was the one little clue on day two where Pam realized things had been turned on their head? Do you think you know what that was?
She said she, you know, probably like me, noticed the top water bite wasn't happening. So she grabbed the worm and had some success with that. But then later in the day, she said, you know, she's not one to, so for everybody who isn't familiar with Truman Lake, it's a lake full of standing timber. They left it when they created the reservoir, specifically for good structure for fishing. And so there's a lot of these areas you can't run your big motor. You need to be on your trolling motor. And, you know, so she was apparently in one of these areas full of trees trolling up to where she wanted to start fishing. But she said from stage, she's not one to just sit there and not be casting while she's trolling from point A to point B. So she just picked up her topwater plug and started throwing it and caught a fish. And so she was like, that's interesting. And just kind of kept doing that and apparently had tremendous success. So that was a little learning moment for me.
For me too. I mean,
I did throw top water later in the day because I saw a suspended fish in this pocket. Unfortunately, my boat was drifting closer and closer to it. So it just kind of kept going deeper and deeper. But, you know, I did throw some top water to see if I could get it to come up. But I didn't, you know, do it very long. So I'm like, man, I wish maybe I should have kept doing that.
Well, I just, you know, and maybe, and you can't do that hindsight. You can't do that second guessing. I just love that, you know, Pam is such an angler that, yeah, while that boat's gliding along and she's trying to get into, you know, the angle to throw her worm, you know, why aren't I fishing? You know, this is like we just heard in the interview. This is her mantra. Keep that line in the water. You can't catch them if you're not fishing for them. And yeah, that's the whole story about her gliding up to the spot. But in this X amount of seconds that I've got here before I get on it, I'm going to go ahead and make a throw just in case. And boy, that just changed the game where she was at. Yeah, those fish were suspended, you know, 10, 12, 15 feet, whatever. They're suspended down a ways, but man, they're able to come roaring up and just smash on that top water. And I guess she had a ball and produced a giant bag of fish.
Yeah, she sure did.
Well, I'm glad we both clued into it. Pam says she'll give you 90% of what she's got. So she's not too shy about talking about it, but I'm definitely filing that one away. How about you?
Oh, no, for sure.
All right. We got to kind of get out of here pretty quick here. I just want to follow up and see where you feel. Why do you feel about that statement about men having more stamina? In the interview, Pam says something about men having more stamina, and I kind of just went along with it because, you know, I was kind of in the moment and so forth. But I started thinking about that later. We were talking about the difference between male and female anglers, and I was kind of bring this more stamina thing into question. How about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I could maybe see that, but I think that's a pretty generalized statement. I don't think it would apply to everyone. There's definitely some ladies out there that, like Pam, who can, you know, really grind it out all day. And I've heard people say that she, you know, we've asked co-anglers that have been with her, because I've never had that experience. And one of them that I talked to said she just outworks everybody else. I mean, she's just throwing more casts than any other anglers that this particular co-angler had fished with, and felt like that's a big reason for her success. So,
well, I hate to disagree with our queen, but and I think she's just being modest, just being humble. But that with her coming back from these treatments and everything else, she really sets an example for those boys on her team down there, because this lady will not quit. And I just started thinking of all these great women that I know, starting with my wife and you and this and that. And I'm like, you know, men have more strength maybe in the immediate need, and we're bigger framed. We have, you know, it's a scientific fact. We've got more muscle mass. But as far as being able to work at something all day long, I hate to use old time cliches, but a woman's work is never done. To be fish with an inexorable intensity is something that women can absolutely do as well as men. And of course, Pam says, you know, you train yourself up, you will get to where you can fish as long as you want. You just got to have that mental toughness not to quit. All right, Ange, real quick, Cassie touched on this, and I talked over a little bit with Pam. The future of the LBAA is in doubt right now. Can you clarify that real quick for us?
Yeah, you know, we really don't know if it's going to continue. Like Cassie mentioned, Secret and Cheryl that started it 13 years ago, they've just gotten to the point they're getting older and just, you know, don't really have the energy to continue carrying it on. So they've offered up the organization if somebody wants to step up and keep it going. And they have a potential person. I assume he lives in Missouri because he was maybe going to come to the tournament to meet with them, but something came up. So now he'll be at Bull Shoals. So we kind of have to wait and see. But, you know, we all really hope that it continues. And we'll just have to keep our fingers and toes crossed. And that whoever does, if whoever this person is steps up to take it over, that, you know, they have good intentions and carry it on in a positive direction and hopefully build it, because, you know, there's a lot of high school and college female anglers out there now that it'd be nice, you know, if they don't want to go the pro route, you know, doing the MLFs or the BASS, but they still want to be able to fish competitively, to have a platform like the LBAA that they can go to after school. We'll, you know, we'll see. Bull Shoals is our classic in October. Proud to say that I qualified to fish it. That's always the big goal every season. Excited to get back to Bull Shoals. It's kind of similar to Truman in a way. So I think maybe some of the stuff I learned on Truman's going to come into play on Bull Shoals. We'll see.
Oh, I bet it will. And I will have my fingers and my toes crossed. Actually, I've got a horrific bunion on my right foot, so I got toes that just kind of stay crossed. I don't know if that counts, but there's a mental picture for you. Also, I really do hope that the LBAA continues. I have no idea what it takes to buy a tournament, run a tournament, promote a tournament, but absolutely convinced that this is a good thing that needs to keep going. Absolutely. So I will be pulling for it right along with you, Ange. All right. I think it's time we get out of here. What do you say, Angie?
Sounds good to me. We're on the road here, and I just had a great time chatting with you, and thanks again for this collaboration. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad you're having fun. I'm having a ball, and I can't wait till we can meet to go fishing instead of having to do work, all right? All right, Angie, take us on out of here.
All right, you've been listening to a couple of fish nerds and angling adventurers when you could have been fishing.
We'd like to thank all the folks in our lives, starting with Kathy and Dana, our wonderful wives, for supporting us in our nonsense, running around chasing these fish. Thank you so much to the LBAA and all the fine ladies who made us feel welcome at the tournament, and the MC and the crew. Everybody was great. Thank you to Clay Groves for letting us do a little takeover this week. Thank you to Wally Pleasant for our theme music. And Angie, got some thank yous. Shout them out now.
Just thanks to all my sponsors. Thanks to Crappie Hippie, Glasswater Angling, and all the ladies in the LBA.
And how about, I'm going to thank Lance Campers, because that's how you get around. We're going to thank Freedom Boat Club, St. Croix Rods, Power Pole Rod Holders, Costa Sunglasses, and Crestliner Boats. They all support our hero, Angie Scott, as she works her way up the tournament ladder. She actually can climb two ladders at once. This is how amazing Angie Scott is. And in closing, remember to follow the code of the fish nerd, spawn early and often, never accept a free lunch with strings attached, and swim against the current every chance you get. And one last thing, get your adventure
whether
on.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds, fish nerds, fish nerds, it's a podcast.
Just for the halibut.
Fried in a basket or broiled in a pan. Eat it raw like you're in Siam. Fish nerds. Fish nerds.